Hello, everyone, and welcome to Now Spinning, the official podcast of the Lansing Community College Vinyl Record Club. We meet twice a month to listen to vinyl and talk about music. Stay tuned to learn about how you can get in touch with us and attend our meetings. Hello, welcome back. Thank you for tuning in to Now Spinning. With me today, I have...
Tyler Reck.
Andy McRae.
Yep. Hey, Andy. How are you doing?
Pretty good.
Welcome to the podcast.
Yeah, hey. Thanks for coming on, man.
Yeah.
And I'm Simon Medina, as I was the last couple times. So today, we're going to be discussing the music that was played at the most recent RSO Fair, which we have quite a variety of stuff here. Lots of different genres, lots of different countries it was from. So I'm just going to jump right into it. We're going to start by talking about stuff that the three of us didn't bring, but the other people who were there brought. And I want to just jump right into it by mentioning a couple songs that stood out to me that they played. Good friend of the show, Tim, he brought in quite a variety of strange, like not strange is a bad word, but like very interesting music. One thing that stood out to me a lot was this song called House of Fear by a band called Ngozi Family from Zambia. And that was a very interesting sound to hear. I've heard of it a couple times from other meetings, but that was something very interesting I've never heard before.
I will say, as a geography nerd, I actually really love that, just seeing something unusual like that from like across the world.
Yeah, no, there's a lot of that in the club. People bring in stuff from all over the place, not just America, England. It's like that, Africa.
Yeah.
Especially that Zambia. There's like a surprising amount of rock bands from that, like just that specific scene that make a lot of great music that I've been getting into lately, and it's fantastic. Also from another sort of distant country, we have Heartbeat from the compilation album Pacific Breeze 3, which is a compilation of Japanese city pop music from the 80s. And this one, I really like this kind of music because, you know, city pop. I mean, if Maddie were here, my roommate, who was on one of these episodes a long, long time ago, they would talk about this genre for a long time. But all I can say is that I quite like it. It's a good vibe for at least like an event like this, definitely. Is there anything that you saw that you found interesting, Tyler?
I like the David Lee Roth. I like Yankee Rose. That was a good one. Shy Boy, that was pretty good, too. Kind of like a little bit. We had a little bit of a rock block there where we all played kind of good rock and music, like, you know, Iron Man or stuff like that.
Iron Man, followed up by I Love Rock and Roll by Joan Jett.
Followed up by Any Way You Want and by the Dave Clark 5, which is actually pretty rocking, not going to lie.
Yeah. Just to tie it back, though, to that David Lee Roth record, that was Sarah who brought that in, we mentioned her a lot on this show as well. She's another friend of the show. I was not expecting that, honestly, from the David Lee. I mean, I was kind of expecting it from the David Lee Roth album, but I never, like, got into it myself. And it seems like there's more to that than I would initially have thought just by looking at it.
Yeah, I mean, like, the first thing you think of when you see the album is most people know the give me a bottle of anything and a glazed donut to go.
Yeah. And like, it's the...
And then it cuts into Yankee Rose.
Exactly.
You know?
I just thought it was interesting that like they recorded an entire version of the album in Spanish as along with the regular English version. That was interesting to me.
Yeah.
I mean, like, they don't do that very much anymore. I mean, like I've seen a couple albums like that, but this one...
I was doing some research on that and it was like, before that he released like an EP of stuff. Kind of loungy stuff, I believe. I was looking up Ted Templeman production credits, and he produced this album,
and
Eat 'Em and Smile. He produced that, which is, you know, pretty cool. He's all over the place, and I found out more about it, which was pretty cool.
That's good. You sent me that text earlier. Yeah. That. I've definitely heard that name a couple times before.
Especially if you're a fan of the next song, What a Fool Believes by the Doobie Brothers.
Oh, boy, are we going by... Well, we'll get to what I brought in just a bit. One more before we move on from the other things people brought was we had another interesting album that I wanted to talk about here, like which is Electricity by Abibio Sound Machine, which is a like an African disco fusion kind of thing, like funk rock. It was very fascinating to me. I've heard of them a couple times, and like I'm a big Talking Heads fan, especially the Remain in Light kind of stuff. So this was very much in that same vein. I thought that was very fascinating. I'd like to check these guys out more. Moving along, though, Andy, why don't you take us through what you played today and why you played it and what do you think about it?
So, as the promotions chiefs, I brought in stuff that's kind of recognizable, hoping to bring people into the stand to get some more people to sign up for our awesome club that we have.
Yeah, that is smart. That's what I did at the RSO Fair last year. Yeah.
So I brought in stuff like You Can Call Me Al because it's You Can Call Me Al. Everyone knows it. Everyone loves it. I also brought in Billie Jean just to get the vibes going. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I also brought in some ABBA. Also for the same five reasons. I mean, it's a very simple reason why I do stuff. So.
Knowing me, knowing you, that was a really good song. We had a little discussion there about Dancing Queen, how I have the 45 of that, which was good to talk about stuff I kind of know because I hate to isolate myself. But people talk about like Ween or something like that. I know like kind of just jazz fusion, Ween, you know, Weezer stuff like that, and I'm just sitting there, mind empty, because I do not know much about all that. But bring up the 70s or the 60s, like what Andy brings, and I know it pretty well.
Mm-hmm. I think you had the right idea, though, definitely, with trying to bring stuff to like appeal to people, because I think you made good choices. Just that ABBA record.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I haven't listened to that album all the way through, but I personally have a lot of ABBA-related, I don't want to say trauma, but I participated in Mamma Mia, and that was a in the pit orchestra, and I learned to play many, many ABBA songs. It was a fun, interesting time. That's a band that, like, you know, it doesn't seem that complicated on the surface, but like you dive into it and it's very, like,
it's very fun to listen to.
Yeah, it's very well crafted music too. Like, they put a lot of effort into making it like as perfect as possible, and I think that really comes across on this song especially.
The album that I brought in also has Dancing Queen on it.
Yeah. Mm.
And so it's like, I thought, hey, everyone knows it. So I was like, you know, let's switch it up. Bring in the people who know Mamma Mia.
Yeah,
exactly. And that got me. That got me a little bit.
Yeah.
But yeah, I did enjoy that song a lot. Along with that, the stuff that you brought, though, I want to talk a little bit about my personal choices, the couple albums that I brought. I didn't get to play everything I wanted to today, but that's perfectly fine because everybody else got the chance to play their music, and I appreciated that a lot. So I think the first song that I played when we did this event, was Superstition by Stevie Wonder, and that I kind of went for the same idea, general idea that you had, is like I want to play stuff that like people are familiar with more than like the weird crazy stuff, because I don't want to scare people off too early, you know. But Superstition I thought was a good way to kick that off. I love that song. I mean, I dare you to find someone who's like, that song sucks, I hate it, it's awful.
I actually played that for marching band. I had the bass line to it.
I get that. That's a good song.
Simon and I didn't have the pleasure of playing Superstition. Instead, we played Carnival 9. Ooh,
that was the song.
I still get nightmares from it.
We don't need to talk about it today if you don't want to. That's fine. But speaking of like band-related songs, actually, I did play another song that by an artist we did play, which was Black Sabbath. We played the song Paranoid when I was in band class many, many decades ago, but I decided to play Iron Man today, and that was another song that I felt would go well for that occasion. It's very loud, kind of carries over a distance. Also because, you know, Rip Ozzy and all that. I don't think anybody played anything from Black Sabbath in any of the meetings in a hot minute, so I figured I wanted to keep that up.
I don't know, last time was like July, I believe, right after Ozzy passed.
Yeah, it was a while ago.
Yeah.
Rip Ozzy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But that was a good song. I like that one a lot. I don't think there's really much I have to say about the song Iron Man. I mean, everybody's heard it a billion times, but
I have something to say.
Speak.
I don't believe the theories, but there's theories going around that said that Dr. Doom and, you know, Marvel coming out with Doomsday and all that is going to be based off Iron Man. Like, he's an Iron Man variant, which is totally baloney. It's stupid.
It's a cool idea, but
it's stupid. Dr. Doom has this whole backstory, and they think, you know, oh, he's a Tony Stark variant that turned evil. Just like in the song Iron Man. It's like, oh, you know, keep dreaming, have fun, you know.
Don't even get me started on that. I've got nothing. I agree basically 100% with what you've said about it.
It's cool, you know, it's not going to happen. No way.
We'll see. We'll see. I'll prove myself wrong in whatever many years this comes out. Moving on from Iron Man, though, I did want to make sure to play some stuff that people weren't immediately familiar with, which is why I brought two Japanese records. First one was Big Wave by Tatsuro Yamashita, which doesn't appear on the list here. Also doesn't appear on streaming because he is he's not a fan of streaming services, so none of his music is on there. I managed to grab that one at a record store when they only had like one copy left a couple weeks ago, and that was probably the best purchase I've made in
which one?
Many years. Oh, it was a FVC, I think. Oh. But yeah, that was a fantastic album. I could talk at length about it, but for now I'm just going to say I mentioned that I played the song Magic Ways, which is another great city pop song. That album especially kind of blends together both like the city pop production sort of thing and kind of the 60s Beach Boys Brill Building, that kind of pop sound, and it melds it together. The whole B-side of that album is all Beach Boys and Brian Wilson songs. So,
speaking of Beach Boys,
segue.
I played The Little Girl I Once Knew because that's a favorite Beach Boys song of mine, also a favorite picture sleeve of mine. It's a beautiful picture sleeve art. I really like it. I like the little, you know, not radio-friendly gap of silence in there. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, that was for those uninitiated, when that song came out, and was it 1965?
Yeah, 65.
There's a bit in the middle of the song where all the instrumentals just like drop out and there's just silence for a couple seconds, and they didn't like that because in the 60s, if you had dead air on a radio station, people would probably just turn it off. So they didn't want to play it at all.
Which
is too bad because it's a really good song.
Yeah, it's really good. And also another really good song that's got more backstory is The Girl I Knew Somewhere by the Monkees off, well, it's from Headquarters. It was the first song that the Monkees made themselves that had all four monkeys, you know, Davey, Peter, Mike, and Mickey, doing their own instruments. They were going to release it as a single with All Your Toys as the A-side, but Columbia, who the guy that wrote All of Your Toys was working under, they said, no way, we aren't giving it to you guys. So they released A Little Bit Me, A Little Bit You instead, which is, you know, pretty interesting. Like, shout out Headquarters, I guess. Listen to all that kind of good stuff. This is their first album where they actually played their own instruments instead of being forced to by their manager.
Wow.
We'll get into a deep dive on that someday.
Perhaps.
Podcast episode.
We'll put it on the list. Yeah, that was an interesting song. Did you play one more song by a member of that band, I believe? Was it a solo record?
Oh, yeah. Mike Nesmith. I played The Eclectic Light off of the album Infinite Rider on the Big Dogma from a bunch of songs from Elephant Parts, the TV movie that they did, or he did. Well, it was kind of that and Pop Clips were the precursor to MTV, which is kind of cool.
Interesting.
We should watch Elephant Parts talk about it on a podcast.
I'll put it on the list. How about that? Yeah, that was a good little song.
Oh, yeah. By the way, while Simon's looking at the list, the reason why it's so all over the place is we had a list.
Oh, yeah.
But it blew away in the wind.
Literally. Yeah.
It was on the table. And the next thing we knew, it was missing.
It was very windy there, just like the song I played, Windy, by The Association.
That also didn't end up on the list because the list blew away. That's okay, though. We have plenty more to talk about here. A couple other songs that I brought in that I also wanted to bring up, the first of which was What a Fool Believes by the Doobie Brothers, as was mentioned before. I just played this song because it's been stuck in my head nonstop for the past year or so. It's the most yacht rock song that's ever been composed in the history of yacht rock. The people who came up with the term yacht rock from like that web series in the early 2000s, mid-2000s, I'm not sure when, they made a sliding scale of how yachty a song was, and this, What a Fool Believes, was 100 out of 100. It was the baseline by which every other yacht rock song is measured off of. It's a good time.
Let's put the Yacht Rock Deep Dive also on the list of future podcast episodes.
I don't have a list with me, right, but I'll remember that, hopefully.
That actually sounds really good.
Let's hope that list doesn't blow away.
We've mentioned that a couple times, I thought. I watched a documentary about yacht rock a while back. It went in deep about just a massive web of like LA studio musicians and producers who like made up this yacht rock scene, how they all worked together and collaborated separate times. And now just beyond that, like branches out, and pretty much a lot of very successful pop albums from the 80s, like the early 80s, the 70s.
It's all connected.
It all connected. All these like yacht rock people start showing up on them.
It all connected to Steely Dan, am I right?
Yeah, no, it all goes back to Steely Dan. That's the scary part.
Fun fact.
Uh-oh.
Chevy Chase was the drummer for Steely Dan, then he left, then Steely Dan got big.
Too bad for him.
I just learned that today.
I didn't know that. That's something. But yeah, Steely Dan. I didn't play any Steely Dan today, though. I made a conscious decision because every single one of these, I always play the same Steely Dan song. But today I was like, no, we're going to play something more yacht rock, I think. Speaking of that album, though, I know you brought Thriller, and the song Human Nature on Thriller is actually basically written by a bunch of yacht rock people. I think it was the band Toto basically wrote that song for Michael Jackson, produced it for him, which is terrifying. So there's a one more connection to that. So there, yeah. You can't get away from him.
Yeah.
Like I said, you find any pop album from like the 80s, you could probably draw a line back to some form of yacht rock. Even today, like the further you get from it, the like it's still there.
Yeah, here's another thing. Harper's Uh-oh. Bazaar connects to yacht rock because he produced, as I said earlier, he produced that Doobie Brothers album that has Minute by Minute on it.
Terrifying,
horrifying.
You never get away from it.
We should play it at our Halloween meeting.
It's not like a jump out and scare you kind of scary. It's more of like an existential horror scary. Which I don't know if that translates as well for those who don't know, but I guess that adds on to it. Speaking of a song that I did play that is not, I think, maybe not related to yacht rock, but it could definitely be. I played Surf Wax America by Weezer off the Blue Album, which, of course, anybody who's, if you paid attention to this show before, we talk about that album quite often.
Oh, the iconic Blue Album?
The iconic Blue Album, guys on a blue background. I was originally going to play My Name is Jonas, but I got talked into playing Surf Wax America because we had played a bunch of like indie rock songs in a row and we wanted to keep that sort of vibe going. I'm not sure how indie Weezer is, but that song's more like it.
I like Surf Wax America. I'd say it's out of all the songs on there that are known by everybody, I'd say that's underrated.
As underrated as any Blue Album song could be, that would be one of them. I like that one. It's almost a Beach Boys tribute thing, like early Beach Boys surf rock kind of thing. Which, you know, that whole album was very, if you'll believe me, that whole album was kind of inspired a lot by, you know, like Beach Boys, that kind of stuff, Beach Boys, Beatles, early, it's like mid-60s stuff, if you believe me, like power pop.
And that's the crazy thing. It's like, oh, here's something that sounds 60s reminiscent. They were inspired by the 60s to, you know, do this. I feel like the person that did a 60s tribute best was John Mellencamp.
I liked it a lot. I thought it was pretty good.
I would also like to say that there's Marty and the Captain by Harvest King. I actually meant to play Dancing in the Moonlight, which is the A-side to that 45.
You should save Dancing in the Moonlight and play it at the first October meeting.
Yeah?
Wouldn't you think that's like Dancing in the Moonlight's kind of like an autumn-y kind of thing, like when the leaves are changing and stuff. It reminds me of working on Mackinac Island, to be frank with you.
Yeah?
Yeah. But Marty and the Captain, that was really good. That was kind of like, I don't know the scale of yacht rock, but
happy accident.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, exactly. It's like, it feels like something I'd listen to on a boat. It feels like yacht rock, but I don't know if it's yacht rock. It just has that feel.
That's the kind of the stuff where the yacht rock came from. It was that kind of 70s soft rock stuff is where that sort of was born from, partially. So I'd give it like a 1 out of 10 on the yacht rock scale, maybe like a 2.5. If we're
it's on the scale.
I don't know, I'm no expert. That was that was a good song that got played.
Next up is a couple of pop things that I heard a ton on the radio that most people have heard on the radio a ton when they're kids. Is Everybody Talks by Neon Trees, and Picking Up the Pieces by Fits and the Tantrums. I love those two groups so much. Especially Picking Up the Pieces has that kind of fluty, kind of piccolo-like bit in the middle, just like Windy had, which I think is, you know, pretty cool. And I saw them in concert once when I was a kid. Same with Neon Trees. I've seen Neon Trees so much. And Everybody Talks, that's like their most well-known song, which is really cool. If I could recommend anybody listening right now a band to go see, it's Neon Trees. They're really cool. Tyler Glenn is really, really nice. I got my picture taken with him when I was like 11, I'd say. Wow. And he signed a guitar pick and signed the set list that we had. It was great.
Who played Chaperone?
That was Sarah. Sarah played Hot to Go.
Yeah.
That's a wonderful song. I mean, like, I never talk about it here on this podcast, but I do like that album. Like, everything I've heard from it, it's a fun time. Chaperone, she put out a couple more singles since that album came out. Like, I forget the name of the most recent one, but it was like a Dream Pop single, which was crazy. It was like kind of almost Cocteau Twins thing, which I liked a lot. I am very interested to see what her next album will look like. I'll say that much. That's all I have to say about Chapel Roan, though. I'm not a super fan, but it's very good stuff.
Yeah, I'd say so. It's pretty cool. You know, I hear it sometimes in my car. We have fun with it because you could tell a couple people just came up and I knew someone was like, oh, you guys are playing Hot to Go. That's really cool.
No, and I think that kind of ties back to this just general idea of trying to play as like a wide variety of music as we can with this. Because like you look at it, you played funk music. There's like electronic stuff.
There's some like rock.
Metal,
like
rock. Yeah.
Yeah,
I almost played Louis Armstrong. Just didn't find like the right transition.
That's okay. I mean, no, that's the one thing. Nobody played any jazz, but that's okay. I think we can live with the no jazz for today.
Yeah.
There'll be more in the future. Don't you worry.
Yeah. And closing everything out, the very last song we played was by a 50s band called The Tempos. And the song, See You in September, cuz. Yeah. Because when are we going to see people next?
September 4th.
Yeah.
Which will be
tomorrow.
Well, by the time this comes out, it'll probably be a while ago.
So tomorrow as of recording.
Yeah. Yes. But because let's see here. I think our next meeting would be on the 18th. So could be in 2 days, could be next week, could be something or other.
But just make sure to check out our website or link. It'll be linked at the end of the show. Before we head out, though, I would also like to thank everybody who showed up for this, who came out to the RSO fair, came to check our booth out. Signed up. It was really interesting meeting a lot of people there.
Yeah.
A lot of interesting music taste. I liked that a lot. I was asking people what their favorite album was, and I got a very wide variety of answers, and I thought that was very exciting to hear.
Yeah.
So hopefully some of them show up to this next meeting. We're looking forward to it. But if you're interested at all at hearing anything about our next meeting or meeting schedules, past playlists, meeting themes, anything you need to know about our record club, you can check out our website, which will be linked with the show. Everybody is welcome to this, whether you've been collecting for your whole life or you've literally never touched a record before. The only thing that's required is love for music and a willingness to hear something you haven't heard before.
Or at least enjoy the free pizza.
Yeah.
Yes, there is pizza. Oh, don't forget the pizza.
Pizza's a huge drawing. Free food's always a huge drawing.
And the music. We don't forget the music, but the pizza's also pretty good. That should be all for today, though. Thank you all for tuning in to Now Spinning. We hope to see you next time. Bye-bye.
Goodbye.
Bye.